You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
Hi, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And today, we are talking about crypto across the board. This is the basis of the show. With Bitcoin breaking through the $100,000 mark, there are some things that I really want to go over for the benefit of our listeners, because I personally think it's important. Here goes a key thing. Be a holder, not a trader or a seller. This is the concept of this show here, right? And I'm going to explain why. Bitcoin itself, look, it broke through the $100,000 mark. No one thought it would happen. It was, you know, denied any possibility of this occurring for the longest time. But with what's happening now and what has been occurring in the evolution of the industry, it is becoming a more viable asset now than ever. Bitcoin is a store of value, period, the end. It has been on a growth path. You know, granted, there have been issues in the crypto industry with bad actors and the like, but what has happened, if you notice, the bad actors are getting wiped out. This is actually going to be behind us. Of course, you're always going to have those that are trying to do things, right? But this is why the new administration that's coming in, they're going to put, you know, guidelines together and regulations together that will allow the industry to prosper. And that's the great thing about it. Like I said, Bitcoin store value has been on a growth path for, you know, year on year. Volatile, yes, is volatile. There's no question about it. But still, a growth path every year has been established for it. Those that sold Bitcoin at 20,000 or 50,000, they're regretting it now. I mean, I feel bad for the people that owned Bitcoin when FTX fell apart. Those people took the greatest losses, right? And now they'll never come back from that unless they bought it again. But anyway, you know, those that sold early on, they missed the much bigger play. And that is the hold. The hold. That is the play. Holding Bitcoin long term will bring more rewards due to its limited supply. Everyone knows this. You have a limited supply there. The adoption within the global financial systems has been evident. You see it with the BlackRocks, the Fidelities, the Charles Schwabs, the Robinhoods of the world. And you see this happening more and more on a global basis. The United States itself will be the beacon of crypto innovation. There's no question about it. It's going to happen with this new administration. This is why the entire industry is going to prosper. And again, this is based on the utility of tokens. I'm going to go through that in a minute. Now, Bitcoin has been used as a treasury reserve asset by a number of companies. Right now, this is happening as we speak. You have, you know, from, you know, look, this was sparked by Michael Saylor of MicroStrategy. There's no question about it. That was just the catalyst for companies beginning to say, hey, wait a second, maybe we can do this too. Maybe this is the right way to go about this, as opposed to having money sitting in our coffers and doing nothing and getting, you know, 2-3%, not even, per annum. Why not go with something that has the growth potential of 20, 30, you know, 50% per annum? It is very possible. And that's what people are saying. That's what these CEOs are saying. They're beginning to wake up and realize, wait a second. If this is going to be further adopted, we need to get on board. And this is why you're seeing this. So from FTFs to FTPs the companies, you know, holding it for the long haul. There's a lot of things going on in this space. The Fed chairman, Jay Powell, he just said this yesterday, that Bitcoin isn't competition for the U.S. dollar. That's important because Bitcoin itself, people, you know, they give it a term of a currency, that it is the replacement of the U.S. dollar. It is not. It can't be. The volatility is ridiculous. So he said it's more of a competition for gold. And that's the real truth of the matter, if you think about it. Not all cryptocurrencies can be seen as a commodity, you know, such as Bitcoin and Ethereum. And now Ethereum has utility, and that's the great thing about it. And that adds long-term value as it continues to innovate. As long as it continues to innovate and the whole network expands, it's going to be not competition. I have to say it, not competition for Bitcoin. Bitcoin is in a class of its own. It is like digital gold. It is a store of value that will continue to accrue over time. That value will continue to accrue. So my view on Bitcoin is this. It broke through 100,000. I personally see it going through 150, maybe even to 200,000 in 2025. Now, it's going to pull back and go back up. It's going to make new highs, and it's going to, you know, come up and down and sideways. At the end of the day, it's going to, the volatility, this volatility is an added value with Bitcoin, because this is what option traders, this is their wet dream, extreme volatility. They're playing both ends of the spectrum, and that's what they love to do. That's why, you know, during the internet boom, you had traders making their most money. You know, on the commodity end, when oil is bouncing up and down or gold's bouncing up and down, this is when the traders make their most money. And this is what's happening here with crypto. You know, Bitcoin's not the only one. Now, I want to move over onto Piku Novus, and I need to do this because I want to, you know, explain what's happening there. This is also seen as a commodity, but it's also utility. The blockchain itself was built for scalability and growth, and this allows for very fast, cheap, secure transactions. Basically, you're getting things done on the cheap, and you're able to do things and do more things. It's not competition for Bitcoin, just the same way Ethereum is not competition for Bitcoin. Piku, it'll eventually be seen as a solid choice for payment systems to be built on the blockchain. I'm talking about Piku Novus, the blockchain, and what can be built on it. Now, the value of any blockchain isn't the price. People see the price. They see the price. They see things, you know, whatever crypto, they see it moving up and down. They are not looking behind the scenes, behind the curtain. Okay, because at the end of the day, the price, especially when it comes to Piku Novus, the price is reflective of the utility of the blockchain. That is key. Most people chase meme coins all day. They're chasing meme coins. They're scalping for yield across trading platforms. This is what they do. Hey, more power to them if they can make it work. Seems kind of stressful to me, but more power to them if they can make it work. You have others that are trading derivatives to get crumbs from the volatility. This is when the option traders come into play. They love this. You know, they get excited about this, you know, because the ability to go and make as much as possible is there. Because when you have something trading 24 hours a day, bouncing up and down, you're able to go and trade derivatives on it. Well, you know, you're going to do well if you know what you're doing. If you understand, you know, some people, if you don't understand, then you're going to lose, right? That's the way it is. But still others, they're doing what is probably the least stressful and will ultimately be the most lucrative. And that's holding tight. Holding tight to your positions. You know, now make no mistake that just like Bitcoin, there's volatility with Piku. You know, it goes up and down like anything else. But the ultimate value comes from the utility, and that's where the gold is. That's where the gold, diamonds, and everything, that is where the value lies. This is what you want to look at. I don't care if it's Ethereum, Piku, or whatever, or Solana. You need to look at this stuff because the blockchain that, you know, with Piku, the blockchain implemented a built-in escrow system. Ingenious. You know, you don't need a third party to do this stuff. It was built. It was built into it. And that came and I'll go through that, but it came in 2022. You know, what was also created was a full-scale layer two blockchain option that allows a company, whether you're private or public, if you want to have a private blockchain, you can do that and utilize it internally. And even, you know, for financial institutions, they can go and utilize, you know, their own layer two blockchain to go and tokenize assets and do the like. Okay. And benefit from all the great features available, escrow included. They're able to benefit from it. And also, it's not just for financial systems. You know, you can have a healthcare system or any other manufacturing, whatever it is, and inject blockchain to secure your data. And that's what it comes down to. Secure your data, have an immutable and probably the most trusted form of information that you're going to get, you know, as far as that is concerned. Now, the innovation doesn't stop between, you know, serious systems being built on the backbone of the Piku Novus blockchain to adhering to, and this is a great thing, to adhering to the proof of time consensus mechanism. Now, what this does, it promotes global inclusion, right? You know, there are so many things to like about this blockchain. It's you know, I can go on about this all day, but I'm a big believer in the future of and blockchain in general, but of Piku Novus and what's going to be happening. Because that, you know, if you're looking at the future, you have to look at what blockchain can be in the next 5-10 years. That's the key thing. You know, as I said, you know, the value of any crypto shouldn't be just the trading price. A meme coin, look, it can go up 1,000% and be worthless in a second. There is zero utility. What are you doing? You're getting a Pepe or you're doing something like that and you have it in your account and you're trading. You know, hey, it becomes a money grab. If you're able to make money, good for you. But, you know, a lot of people lose a lot of money and they get taken. And that's the sad part that I see with the crypto space, you know, and there has to be less of that and more of the real solid growth. And that's what we're seeing. And again, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Piku Novus, Solana, they are an XRP. They're doing, you know, Ripple, even though XRP itself is separate from Ripple, Ripple's starting to integrate and do things within XRP that's going to be adding value, and you're going to see what's going to happen there later. Again, they went about things a little bit differently than others. However, I think that value is going to shine through over time. All right. Now, in 2022, Piku Novus was re-engineered, stripped down to the bones, so that it can be the blockchain for the long haul. I mean, not a clunky old proof of work system. Now, I'm not saying, you know, it's no hit on Bitcoin, right? But Bitcoin, again, serves its purpose. You know, that's what they do. You know, it's a store of value. But with Piku, it needed to be more. You can't go and have a blockchain and mirror Bitcoin and say, okay, this is the best thing since sliced bread. That doesn't work. Technology is about growth. Technology is about innovation. Technology is about reimagining what the future could be. And that's the key thing. Okay, now, when this happened... this was probably one of the boldest and riskiest things that I've seen beyond Ethereum moving to proof of stake. You know, it took a lot to actually go down this road, because what's the risk factor? Risk factor is that it doesn't work. The risk factor that it blows up and it crashes. You know, so that was a big risk. It was bold. It was bold and it paid off. It paid off in a big way as the value is beginning to show. You know, I think that Piku at this stage, the stage of adoption, okay, I'm talking about the token itself, that the stage of adoption is where Bitcoin was some time ago, when it was so hard to build up Okay, now with global adoption taking place, Bitcoin success has opened up the doors for true innovation and adoption to come forward. Not hype and nonsense. Not the stuff you see with meme coins where people are getting drawn in through Telegram and the like, and they're getting, you know, hype emails. Oh, this is the best thing. This is, you know, they have, you know, the fake news, for lack of a better phrase, where you have people falling for the hype. You know, don't believe the hype, people. Okay, be smart. You work hard for your money. Be smart about it. Now, I want to tell you why you should not sell your Bitcoin, your Ethereum, your Piku, or probably even your Solana. And that is because we are just in the early growth stages. Early. We're early on. There is a lot. I'm telling you, there's a lot more to come. A lot more innovation, a lot more growth, a lot more things, a lot more institutions, a lot more action, you know, coming into the space. And it all starts here, you know, with the new administration, with President Trump taking the helm again and bringing and promoting and advocating for crypto adoption. It's fantastic. You got Senator Cynthia Loomis. She's out there pushing it. You have Gillibrand doing the same because they know that this is the future. This is the future. So this is why I say don't sell, hold on. Instead, it's a wiser idea for companies that may hold these cryptos on their balance sheets to take loans for working capital or for growth that are backed by these cryptos. There are protocols, there are systems, there are financial institutions that will do this. I'd investigate it and find out more. All right, this allows for them to be, for the cryptos to be held, not sold. Because what is the cost, the opportunity cost if you sell? Just imagine those that sold Bitcoin at 20,000, thought they were going to go back in. All of a sudden, they took the money out, they did what they had to do, and then they went back and it was 30. Did they win on that? No, there was only, you know, certain degrees of losing, right? So the long-term growth, when you hold on to it and you go and you, you know, take out a loan for working capital or growth or and the like, you know, when you're not selling it, that long-term growth doesn't leave you. It doesn't disappear. When you sell, it's gone, period, the end. There goes your opportunity. There goes the growth. It's not coming back. There's no way you can reverse the hands of time. I know people get excited and they want to run for the border because they see, you know, a Bitcoin or Ethereum or something go up in double-digit percentages. Oh, my God, let me get out now because it may come back. Don't fear. You have to go and embrace your fear. Embrace your fear and understand what lies in the future. Bear in mind that there are companies out there now. Companies out there now. Look it up. Go online. Look, Google it, you know, or whatever you're going to do, right? Go online, right? There are companies out there, private, public, and financial institutions that are just waiting to acquire more and more of these cryptos. They can't go and just take it and buy it in the open market, really, because they can go and push something higher. They don't want to do that because it's not cost effective to them. They're just waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting. They're sitting there with a smile on their face because they know that Bitcoin that you sold at 90,000 is going to come to them dressed as 150 grand, or that Ethereum that you sold at this is going to accrue in value over time, or that Piku you sold at this is going to accrue over time. This is about a waiting game. Just hang on. And they're waiting for this. And why are they looking to do this? Think about it. It's because there's a limited supply. Bitcoin, there's a limited supply. And we know this already. That's where the value comes. Piku is, there's also a limited supply. And I'm going to go through these little numbers with you. The total circulating supply of Piku is about, right now, today, at about 332 million. 332 million. Now, the max supply is 1 billion. So it's almost a third there, right? It's almost a third there. And it won't hit that max supply probably for 20, 30 years. Think about that. think about that, that there's a halving process that happens every decade or you know, and what winds up happening, the rewards get less and less, and the rewards are capped over the course of a year anyway. So you're looking at a tokenization, or actually the tokenomics that makes sense, because it's showing the future growth. I mean, this thing, you know, until it hits that billion, you're talking about, again, 20, 30 years down the road. Now, here's the kicker. Out of that $332 billion, about half of that is locked up for the next 2, 3, 5 years. And is more locked up on other platforms for trading and the like. So there's even a thinner supply than you see as far as the circulating supply. Now, that's exactly why we will see more companies adopting, you know, Piku, Novus, Piku, that's the name of the token, Piku, as a treasury reserve asset. I believe this. Okay, and it's going to happen over time. It just makes absolute sense. Why wouldn't you hold something that has a limited supply and hold it on your books and have it as a treasury reserve asset that can accrue in value and add more value to your company? That's the key thing. That is the key thing. Okay, you know, and the growth potential is there. Adding it to your balance sheet, it having the growth potential, and with the innovation not stopping with the blockchain, that's just going to add more value. Now, with, you know, will ETFs ever be issued at some point? You know, so the broader investment market can have access to Piku? I can't speak about that. I don't know. It does make sense. I mean, somebody smart's gonna go and say, hey, you know what? We should do this. Okay? But I guess we're gonna see, but it is a good idea, right? You know, I will say that I do believe we will see Piku on more balance sheets in 2025 as an additional treasury reserve asset, similar to Bitcoin or side by side with Bitcoin, and really there for value. Now, this is why we hold Bitcoin, and we've accumulated it, waiting, just like every other group out there, waiting, taking in, and, you know, getting it at lower levels when possible, and we'll continue to do so. This is also a golden opportunity for those in underserved areas of the world that don't have the strongest internet, that don't have the resources to go and mine for Bitcoin. They don't have the powerful machines, they can't afford them, and they don't have the electricity or internet to do this, right? And they don't have the capital to stake on Ethereum and other platforms. Remember, and I mentioned this earlier, Piku Novus is using a proof of time consensus mechanism. Now, let me tell you what that means. The node that someone is hosting, the rewards are based on the length of time the node is live. You're not paying any upfront costs, nothing for staking, nothing, no machines, nothing. You can just use a regular computer, because it's not going through this crazy computation, and you need these great resources and a computer to do that. All right. So what happens is that this makes it too easy for someone, let's say in Africa or in the Middle East, or even in Europe, if you're like, you don't have the resources, wherever you may be in the world, even the United States, wherever you are, and you don't have the resources to go and take advantage of Bitcoin and Ethereum and do these things, you can just host a node and start accumulating Piku, keep accumulating it, and be a part of this. Okay, and that's the great thing here. All right, that's the great thing here. Okay, now the issue is here, it's such a great thing to do, but the issue is that not a ton of people know about it. Well, they may begin to learn more about it after this show. This is why I'm speaking about it. It's the greatest story ever told. All right, and the story continues on, and it's going to continue on. So I do urge those that are interested, go learn more about it. You know, just look up Piku Novus. I'm sure you'll find some things on it. You know, so closing out, I have to say this, and hold on to Bitcoin. Hold on to Ethereum. hold on to your Pico Novus, and even hold on to your Solana for the long haul. XRP, hold on for the long haul. I've been saying this for years. Look at them now. Look at Bitcoin, look at Ethereum, look at Pico, look at what's happening here. Okay, I believe we're just scraping the surface here. Scraping, scratching, it's just one layer of a lot of layers that are to come. Again, in my opinion, there is this big growth still ahead of us for not a year, for years, for decades, that growth is going to continue to happen. Now, I'm in no way giving investment advice to anyone, but if you own any of these cryptos, it's a good idea to be a holder and not a seller. Be smart. Think about the future. Don't think about the minute, because you'll wind up trading dollars for pennies. That's what's going to wind up happening if you sell too soon. Okay, now that's it. This is it for the show today, and I want to really talk about crypto and go over it because I thought it was that important, and I will continue to do this. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and taking time out of your life to even listen to the show. I appreciate it, and I'm going to try to bring more, interesting thoughts to the show as we move along. And again, I want you guys to have a great trading day. Think about what I said about Bitcoin, Ethereum, Pico Novus, Solana, XRP, and try to, digest that. Try to digest that, okay? All right, on that note, we will be back with you with another episode of Money Never Sleeps. Thank you again.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio. In your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Balathkeff and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.